You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout Sales Event is on. Lease the 2019 Qashqai S for zero down from $279 a month at 3.6% APR for 64 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, Yo Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Bob McKenzie, your hockey insider, will be in studio here in just a moment. We talked about this in the previous segment. Bit of a missed opportunity for the Raptors last night because Kawhi Leonard was really not effective whatsoever offensively last night.
No, but he was one rebound away from a triple-double, but still it was a low one, right?
Yeah, it was a very ineffective triple-double. I mean, he offensively, I kept waiting for him to go.
Yeah, to
pop. And he started hitting some more shots in the fourth quarter, which is what he's known to do. But when he's on the court, and because of the significance of them playing him for the first time, I was looking for him all night.
Yeah.
And I never saw him develop any sort of a rhythm. And I credit the Raptors for, you know, they were double teaming him all night. Help defense was outstanding. But you lose the game.
Yeah.
And I saw that Chris Broussard, who's a guy that we goof on all the time up here because of his, you know, fake sources.
Right.
Remember, he was... Kawhi's definitely going to the Lakers, and he was like adamant about that.
We're losing it on that guy.
Yeah, and he was wrong in the end. A lot of us were wrong, but we weren't reporting it. We were,
right,
you know, basically projecting what we thought was going to happen.
Right.
He was reporting it as if he was like Walter Cronkite. But now, you know, I think he was on maybe FS1 yesterday saying this could be a precursor of the NBA Finals, what we saw last night, which ultimately it's one man's opinion. It doesn't matter. But it says something about the American media, who are ready just to put the Raptors in the rear view. They did not want to talk about them last year. They were forced into talking about them because they won the NBA title. When Kawhi left and Danny Green left, it was like, all right, that's enough. We don't have to talk about these Canadian, you know, these Canadians anymore.
Right.
And then they go out there and play the way they've been playing, and people are starting to take notice here.
Well, the East isn't, it's wide open.
No, it's wide open.
So
it's not
no
very
reason.
Good.
And you've seen players elevate, and we talked about it yesterday, that championship pedigree. Pascal now is the star. He's feeling good about his game. You're looking, you know, Lowry's a really good player. He's injured, I get it, but you know, you're seeing players now with that have won are feeling better about their game, and it's showing on the court.
Absolutely. You see Baker Mayfield suggesting what fans should be doing at games in Cleveland.
This guy can't help himself.
Yeah, so I guess he was speaking with Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer. And he mentioned that last week he was having some issues because his own fans were being too loud when they were on the field.
Yeah. Can't do it. You can't talk like that, dude. You just got to play the game and play good. Like
you have won nothing. Like, I know they still love him in Cleveland, I believe, because they love the idea of what he could become. And he went first overall, and they have to believe in it. They don't have another option. They haven't had a quarterback in 20 years.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he said, you know, when we're on offense, we just need to be quiet. Be quiet. Like, get loud against the when the defense is on the field. But when I'm on the field and the offense is on the field, you have to be quiet. And, listen, he's not wrong. I mean, ideally, that's what you're supposed to do. But...
You're mad at your fans. Not mad, but you're.
But
like,
you're preaching to the fans. You're a nobody that's 3-6. Shut
right.
up. Like, this if you're in Cleveland and you've been a ticket holder for 20 years, you're like, are you insane?
Yeah.
You're telling me what I'm supposed to do? You worry about yourself, man.
Somebody else, maybe it was Taylor Hall earlier, but they've just been garbage. And he's like, oh, how can you boo us?
Well, no, Taylor said, now we're fighting the fans. That's what he said. He goes, now we're fighting our play, but he goes, now we're fighting the fans. Because they're booing us. They were booing him in the second period every time they touched a puck. So it's ridiculous. You're never going to win. You're never going to win calling out the fans, even if they're in the wrong. And they're not. I'm not saying they're in the wrong because they're making noise for their home team. But this Mayfield, he's really unlikable.
He is. I cannot believe the heel turn he has taken. Where before the season he was shotgunning beers at Indians games and doing GQ magazine shoots,
Yeah.
You know,
it's
popping off.
It's almost
off,
like he's gotten ahead of himself. They're like, and people are like, who the hell do you think you are?
Well, you look at the stats and you're like, you have done nothing.
Yeah.
You have been less than mediocre.
It's almost like there's something inside of him where he's like, I got to stay relevant here. I got to stay on top of the news. I got to have people talking about Baker Mayfield, where it's insane.
Who would you rather have now, Mayfield or Goff? Which are both not.
Jerry Goff has not been any better.
Dude, remember, you guys had the
Baker Mayfield.
You guys
Come
had
on.
The argument.
Yeah, we had the
and
argument.
You were quite heated. And didn't you bring Marcellus in? And
yeah.
Marcellus said
he
both
took
of
Baker
them said Mayfield.
Mayfield.
I don't know if you like.
The Rams are 5-4, and I believe he might be leading the NFL in yards. But they've been chasing games a lot of times. Remember, he burned us on our Survivor pool pick.
He did. You
where he had like 450 yards, but he was brutal. He threw three picks of it.
Yeah, I it's just this Mayfield is becoming unlikable.
So unlikable.
I don't like that.
The only market that still liked him was Cleveland. Like, I guess that's what I'm almost disappointed. Like, the rest of the country and the rest of the football world is like, can you just, until you start winning something, I've had enough.
Yeah, zip it.
And I'm saying that as a guy who was a supporter. I liked his swag. I wanted to believe in Baker Mayfield. I have nothing against Cleveland. That'd be a great story. You finally figured it out. Go on a bit of a heater. Bob Uecker can do his thing and
right.
Harry Doyle, and we can talk about how the Browns are back and all that. I was a supporter of that storyline. But I'm out.
Yeah.
And the rest of America and Canada and football fans are out. The only market that I think still supported him was Cleveland, and now he's got the audacity to
chastise them and say,
hey, you guys are dumb fans because you're too loud when I'm on the field.
This guy's a dope.
Like, you're just asking for trouble. Bob McKenzie will be in studio in about 10 minutes. So, did you see the coin flip controversy going into overtime last night?
I think people misunderstood that, because I don't know how you could screw that up, although we've seen it in the past where it's like, no, I didn't say that.
But well, we've seen that recently. It was almost like Al's brother calling the flip.
Yeah, but he said the Niners, and then he, like, this was, Geno Smith was out there calling it for Seattle, and he called heads, we believe.
Right.
But if you listen to the audio, it does kind of feel like he might have said tails. And anyway, it was flipped. It came up heads. They got the ball. It didn't matter because the Niners still had multiple possessions to close the game out.
Yeah.
But it made me wonder why they can't just designate, you know, the home team is always heads. The away team is always tails. It makes no difference.
Yeah,
you're still flipping. It's still the same percentage. Like, why do you have to ask someone, you know, call it in the air? Why? Why do that?
I don't know. For theatrics?
I guess. But then we've seen this before where they've screwed it up.
Yeah.
Like, it has happened before in big games where someone calls heads and it lands on tails, and for whatever reason they still get the option.
It was a Green Bay game, wasn't it? Like, back in the day, it was.
Well, you're thinking of the Hasselbeck where he's like, it's heads and we're going to win the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think he did end up calling it right. But there have been examples, I can't think of one on the fly, but where it's been a coin toss controversy, and I don't know why you would even put yourself up for that.
Yeah, you're right.
Just designated.
Designated. You're right. Home is heads.
Right.
Road is tails. Like, that. It takes all of the guesswork out.
It's really not that complicated. You don't even need anyone to come out to the center of the field.
Here's the thing, though. How complicated is it to say heads or tails when the ref throws the coin in the air?
Yeah. You've got to be.
I think logically they're probably saying, well, how hard is that?
I guess you're right. I don't blame them for thinking, hey, let's not overthink this. It's not hard. The guy's going to say one of two things, and it's going to land one of two options.
Exactly.
So let's just continue with history here. But apparently it can cause some controversy.
Is he calling it with a mouth guard in and you can't understand what
he's
saying?
No, he's not even playing. He's a backup quarterback.
That's what I'm saying.
Why is he out there
I don't know why he was the guy that decided to go out. I guess everyone else is preparing for overtime and send the guy out there who's never going to play.
Send the trainer out.
Send the owner out, Steve Ballmer.
Yeah, who would you send
Pretty
out?
Cool.
Pretty cool. Heads. Pretty cool. Just say either
You're
heads
sweating.
Or tails, please,
You're
Steve.
You're sweating.
You sweaty disaster.
I like that guy.
Yeah. Well, I think if he was your owner, I would like him too. And if you're in L.A., you got to love the guy. You got Kawhi Leonard and Paul George.
I know, but he's also brilliant. Like
he's successful. I don't know if he's brilliant. I guess he probably
yeah,
is.
Yeah, you don't just stumble into...
But I thought he was like marketing, wasn't he? Like, what did he do with Microsoft?
I don't think
he was programming for them. I think he was kind of heavily involved in the promotion and the market. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I think he was pretty heavily involved in the company, period. Like, I don't think that he was like a 2% owner. He was
no. He had big stocks.
Yeah.
Like, he was one of the, like, a day one or close to it.
Right.
But there's a difference between, like, who's programming everything and
exactly.
who's selling
the
everything.
The brains behind it, yeah.
You know?
Well, either way, he cashed in.
It worked out pretty well for him.
Yeah.
We have 9 more weeks of giveaways for TSN 1050 Superfan Spring Break, an ultimate hockey vacation courtesy of bookseats.com. Join Toronto as they take on Tampa and Florida down in the Sunshine State, including round-trip flights, 4 nights accommodations, and tickets to the games in late February. To enter, you follow us on Instagram at TSN 1050 and at bookseats.com. That again is on Instagram. Find our latest Superfan Spring Break post and tag your travel buddy. Then on Friday, tune in to Overdrive. And if you are announced as the winning follower, you will have 10 minutes and 50 seconds to call in and claim your prize. Visit tsn1050.ca for all the details. Bookseats.com, custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world, simplifying the way fans travel. Chuba Hubbard from Edmonton, Alberta.
Yes.
At around 6:40, also known as the starting running back for the Oklahoma State football team. Stud running back. Going to likely enter the draft and potentially be a high round pick. So we're looking forward to that. We'll catch up with him later in the hour. Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider, in studio next. All right, Chuba Hubbard's going to call in a little bit later in the hour from Oklahoma State, but more importantly, from Edmonton, Alberta.
Yes.
He idolized noodles growing up.
No, he did not.
Yeah, I think he did.
He idolized Jason Strudwick.
Maybe Tyson Nash.
Yes, maybe.
Maybe. So we're looking forward to catching up with him a little bit later in the hour. Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider, in studio. What's up, Bob?
Not a whole heck of a lot.
No? Nothing going on?
Quiet Tuesday.
Insider trading? What's cooking over there?
Yeah, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Pierre LeBrun reported that Sean Burke, who will be heading up Hockey Canada's Spengler Cup delegation, has asked Wayne Gretzky if he wants to coach the team at Christmas. And Gretzky's deciding. He's honored, but, you know, family man, grandfather now, so right. He may have family commitments that would prevent him from otherwise doing that. So we'll see what happens.
That's an interesting ask. I mean, Gretz is Gretz, but he doesn't really seem to be into coaching right now.
He hasn't done it for 10 years.
Yeah.
But?
Well, he works for Edmonton. Like
Wayne Gretzky, it's Hockey Canada, and so we'll see.
Still the Hockey Canada, I guess, alumni tie with Bob Nicholson and all of that scenario there. But, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, what would spark that? Like, why would Sean Burke...
Relationships, maybe?
No, I know that, but...
Still.
Like, it's almost like the Spengler Cup. Give someone young an opportunity to coach at that stage.
Don't know.
Yeah. But it sounds like, what, an attention grab where it's like... I'm running this, and look who I got to coach.
Well, Sean Burke played for him when he was in Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
There's a strong connection there, and it's Wayne Gretzky. So.
Well, no kidding. I guess he can do whatever he wants. I mean, it would make it interesting. I wouldn't mind, you know, tracking what he's up to at the Spengler Cup. If he's behind the bench. But.
From his path, that's what it is unique, is he hasn't coached in 10 years. He's been... You know, involved with the Oilers organization as an ambassador and everything. Like you say, he's got a family and he's a grandfather. That seems like, I don't know, item 10 on his list. Like, it doesn't seem like front and center.
And Pierre LeBrun, who reported it, is not reporting that Gretzky's doing it. He simply reported that he was asked and that he's honored by that. And we'll see.
Where are you at with the Toronto Maple Leafs goaltender situation?
Well, it's pretty obvious right now. It's Freddie on Wednesday, Freddie on Friday, I would assume. First game, back-to-back. Got the Boston Bruins down at Scotiabank Arena. We'll be down doing the Hall of Fame game, as always. Excuse me. And Saturday night in Pittsburgh. So I'm going to assume that Kazimier Kaskisuo, he of 76 American Hockey League games and 0 NHL games, is going to get to go up against the Penguins. Now, I don't know if Sid will be in the lineup or not because he's injured right now, but Pittsburgh's still a pretty fair team that he might get his NHL debut against, and then we'll see where it goes from there. Worth noting, we know that Michael Hutchinson just went through whatever, five or six.
Yeah.
Five, was it five back-to-backs or six? I forget. Five. But anyways, there are five more back-to-back situations for the Toronto Maple Leafs between now and the end of December. So, and that starts this Friday, Saturday, and then the end of the month, there's a home-and-home with Buffalo, one at 4 o'clock on the American Thanksgiving Friday, and back at the Scotiabank Arena on the Saturday night. And then there's a few more in December, two before Christmas and one after.
Going through, you know, just what you put out on Twitter, just your, you know, your opinion and what you're seeing in that, Kaskasuo getting an opportunity, you know, do you get a sense that, you know, it is a genuine opportunity for the goaltender, or Michael Hutchinson's situation kind of force it? Like, what do you get a sense if you're getting anything? Because I know it's blood from a stone.
I think it's genuine opportunity for Kaskasuo, but a recognition that they don't really know what they've got here because he's never played an NHL game before.
Right.
And it's funny because his numbers weren't great last year, but he got them deep into the playoffs and played very well in the playoffs. And those who know him say he came into this year with a whole different attitude. He's 26 years old, never played an NHL game, but he came in this year with a different attitude and a different approach, and his numbers have been fantastic. I think he's 6-1 with the Marlies, 928 save percentage. So give him a chance and see what he does, because they have to do that because they're a cap team. And even though Mitch Marner's out of the lineup and they can just basically swap out Hyman for Mitch Marner and they get scads of cap money on LTIR, excuse me, for as long as Marner's out. That's the hitch. He's as long as he's out. So they could go out and get a veteran backup, add him to the roster, but then when Marner comes back, it'll be tough to pull off.
Well, that ultimately lies at the feet of Kyle Dubas. I mean, Dubas is the one that decided this is going to be the cap situation. We have no money for our backup. We're going to sign a guy to a PTO, and that was Michael Neuwirth, and I'm sure they hoped that he would be willing to play, and he decided he wasn't willing to play. But, you know, Hutchinson has to own it. Babcock, I don't think, has done him any favors. The players have not done themselves any favors. But the GM made this call. He made the call.
He's absolutely.
He's got no options.
Because, you know, they had McElhinney. Now, I don't know that McElhinney would have stuck around this long to be the backup when he obviously was looking for more opportunity. And he got it in Carolina. And then he got it in Tampa.
Right.
He got a two-year deal. He wasn't getting a two-year deal for the money he's getting in Tampa from the Leafs, I don't think. But the Leafs did make a conscious decision. Let McElhinney go. Keep Garrett Sparks. Sparks didn't work out. Try Hutchison. He didn't work out. And now they're into the spin cycle of trying to find a backup goaltender who can live up to the high bar of almost only ever playing on the second night of back-to-backs for a team that's terrible at it.
Crazy when McElhinney got here. I think once you saw him have some success and you said, you want to sign a three-year deal at $1 million? Would you like that?
Yeah, maybe
he would have said, oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Like
he was
that.
On waivers. They picked him up on waivers.
Dead in the water.
But he's gotten better with age. That's the one thing. I remember having a conversation with him and a couple other goaltenders in the league. It's almost like they arrive at 33, 34. They get it mentally. They get it physically. And they're like, one of them said to me, it's like, it's crazy. I get it now, and I'm almost out of the league. And that's what you're seeing, the maturation. Yep. That's, you can't even discount the fact that McElhinney, as a veteran backup, the relationship with the starter, too. Like, these young kids that are cycling through, like Garrett Sparks and Frederick Anderson, I'm sure there was a layer of relationship. But Garrett Sparks isn't going, if they're going into Chicago, Sparks isn't pulling him aside and going, you know, in the corner, in the Zamboni corner, I noticed, you know, for the 5 years I've been in this league, I'm going to help you out. Like, there's nothing.
The same thing now. Like, Kaskasuo has never been on an NHL bus,
let alone
bench or ice.
It's a challenge right now, but you have to wonder. I don't know, and Bob, I don't know if you know, if there's a bigger play or if they're just going to tread water and see if this is, you know, you've got some
right now. They're
money.
Right now they're treading water. Yeah. Right now they're going to want to see what this kid can do.
Yeah,
I call him a kid. He's 26 years old. Right. They're going to see what he can do and take it one game at a time and figure out what's what.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because Tampa, you know, they had Louis Domingue last year.
Yeah.
He won 21 games. But they obviously didn't think he was a good enough backup, even though he won 21 games.
That's bizarre to me.
They were outscoring. I think they viewed it as the Lightning were just obliterating people, and they were outscoring whatever problems they had, and the problems came home to roost in the playoffs. So they went out and got McElhinney, basically to take Louis Domingue's spot, put Domingue in the minors, and then, and just until recently, now he's in Jersey in the minors.
Right.
Yeah, not playing.
That's crazy, though. I mean,
and he was on waivers. Yeah. First
Louis
day of Domingue camp.
Wasn't in the net for one playoff game.
Yeah.
Or you know what I mean? It's yep. like.
But it's crazy. Like, to me, that speaks of a progressive general manager.
Right.
Goes, I've got a guy who just won 21 games, and I don't like what I'm seeing. And I don't think it's shaking the room up. Like, it's more about, like, I need to get better.
I view that as overthinking it, you know.
Maybe. But that said, he was on waivers. Now, he was on waivers the first day that you could get waivers. And that's a great time. If you want to slide a goalie, mm-hmm. or anybody for that matter, through on waivers, put them on the first day there. You can do it on the beginning of training camp because everybody's got high hopes for the guys they've got. Exactly. And they've got all these players, and they're thinking about how are they going to cut down, not add somebody. But nobody jumped on them. So
yeah. Well, I mean, the Leafs are not the only team with cap problems, you know, or a lack of flexibility. But you know, it's not even necessarily about Marner and how much he got paid or Matthews. There were other options for them to decide, you know what, we're not going to spend that kind of money. Like, I believe they could have walked away from Cody Ceci if they wanted to. They chose not to, and they ate the 4.5. But you're telling me you sign a better backup, and that's not going to be more valuable than whatever Cody Ceci is going to bring to your team over 82 games?
I forget all the financial permutations on Ceci, but in order to get rid of the Zaitsev contract...
They had to take him on.
They had to take him on... But he had to agree that, you know...
They would guarantee the money?
That he's gone, like it's just a 1 year and...
Right.
And everybody's free to walk away at the end.
Okay, so that, maybe that's that not part the of example.
There was an obligation. All I remember from that is, without trying to remember everything...
Right.
There was an obligation where they had to take CeCe.
Well, okay. And, I mean, we talked about this countless times in the summer. Like, what's important? A secondary defenseman, some help on the third or fourth line, or a backup goaltender? And in this era, I mean, it's become clear that the backup goaltender, it feels like it's more important than it ever has been.
Yeah, but you know what?
And, sports
and
science.
I agree with that, and I got all sorts of grief on Twitter for not defending Hutchison because I tried to make the point, and I've made it here many times before. I'm not convinced he's an NHL-caliber goaltender. You know, and if he is, it's on the low-level backup end of things.
Replacement value guy.
Yeah, exactly. And that. But in this instance... When the bar's so high and you're only playing in the second half of back-to-backs and you're getting, you know, Freddie's getting the Columbus Blue Jackets and Hutchison's getting the Montreal Canadiens, Freddie's getting the Minnesota Wild, mm-hmm. and Hutchison's getting the Washington Capitals. I forget the other ones that were pretty bad, but it was the same sort of thing all the way along. There's not enough responsibility on the Leafs just sucking. On back-to-backs.
They've been awful.
Yeah.
There's no explanation for it.
They collapse in front of Hutchison. And everybody, honestly, I know some people believe if they had a better backup goalie, they wouldn't have lost all those back-to-backs. And maybe that's the case. I'm not convinced because I saw total collapse defensively in the first period in Chicago, in the second period against Washington, and the third period against Montreal the mm-hmm. first time.
Yeah.
Total collapse. Total, like, 3-4 goals in 5-10 minutes, boom, done.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, every one of them wasn't a bad goal. It wasn't.
Right.
And so, I mean, at some point, the onus has got to be on the coach, the six defensemen, and the 12 forwards that are in the lineup.
Yeah.
As much as the backup goaltender. But the backup goaltender gives everybody a convenient lightning rod of saying, that's the problem.
Well, I think the heat on Babcock, it's going to come and go in waves, right? Like, when they were losing games, it was...
Yes.
Heated, and then all of a sudden they run off a few wins, and it's like, okay, glass half full, we're okay here.
But you're right. It's going to be tough. And now it's going to be like the weather.
Right.
Tough weekend.
And now he's
weekend.
Back in it.
Tough weekend. Yes. Well, the goalie's got to go. But you're right. Like the thing that I would imagine they're hoping, as Kaskasuo comes up, the team wakes up in front of them, maybe outscores an issue, and they get a win.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they build off of that.
That's ideal.
And that's ideal. Like,
but if it doesn't happen, you know, something, no one's going to at the end of the season say, it all crumbled because of the backup goalie.
No.
That's never going to happen. No. Not in
and
this
city. I
think
it's also been 5 years saying, are these guys going to lock it down defensively?
Right.
5 years.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And a lot of it, it's on the players.
And,
it,
and it's going to be fascinating because we're at a point in the schedule where you got the Islanders, got the Islanders on Wednesday.
Boston.
You got the Bruins on Friday, and you got Pitt on Saturday, and it's a back-to-back.
Then you hit
it's
the
a fascinating three-game stretch.
Yes.
Fascinating.
It is.
I guess because it's if it goes really well, then you're right. I mean, everybody's going to be like,
breathe again.
Yeah. It's all good. The Leafs are fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially if they get two out of three wins and one of them is Kaskasuo winning on Saturday night, everybody will be like,
we've figured it out.
All good. No problem.
All good.
Everything good. Leafs are on track now. Imagine if they lose all three.
Well,
imagine if they lose all three and Kaskasuo gets lit up on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Like where it's at. You're,
Pet's heads will
I'll
be
taking a
off.
Sick day on Monday. I won't be able to come in. It's going to be so ugly. Well, and then they hit the road at Vegas, at Arizona, at Colorado.
Yeah.
Like that's no joke either.
No kidding.
Like Arizona.
Those are three playoff teams.
Good team. Yeah,
and Colorado will playoffs. Beat you 11-0 if you don't pay attention.
Just
right.
For fun. Yeah. and Vegas is no slouch.
Right. And they can't beat good teams. I mean, that's been the problem. They beat Vegas. Yeah. They beat Boston the one night. But Tampa, St. Louis, Montreal, a lot of the best teams. Yeah. And you got your next six games are all teams that are currently in a playoff spot.
And you're on the road.
And you're on the road.
That's tough.
Too. Five of the next six are on the road. And the only home game is Boston. So
beautiful.
I think, honestly, on November 24th, we're going to have a read on what this season's going to be all about.
Yeah, I said on Thanksgiving, let's just everybody take a Valium and let's reconvene after American Thanksgiving.
Well, that'll be it. That'll be after
and you've
the
got,
Islanders.
You've got, it'll actually be the end. That American Thanksgiving, on. You've got that back-to-back. 4 o'clock on the Thanksgiving Friday in the U.S. in Buffalo and the Sabres in Toronto. That's where we'll see where
that's
they're
the
at.
That's the 29th, 30th.
And December 1st.
And we also thought, well, they'll get healthy because they're going to get Hyman back, which they are, but then they lost Marner.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know what? That's just a fool's game trying to play that one. Everybody in the NHL has injuries. Deal with it.
Yep. That'll be 9 games. They'll be at 28 for the season. And December 1st.
Yeah, that's a – you'll know. You'll know what that
phone lines will be open at that point.
By the way, did the boys like the ensemble today?
I don't know. It was kind of –
we're wearing turtlenecks tomorrow. I am.
Turtleneck
I'm try
Tuesday?
I'm going to find one. But I want a thick one, like a
the
neck brace.
The big
brace.
One.
Yeah, like the old school neck brace.
Barely breathe.
Yeah, I'm going to try. I'm working late tomorrow night. I don't know how I'm going to swing it off the chain. I'm wearing a turtleneck tomorrow.
Yeah, I think you're
if
fine.
If I can.
I support the look.
I do, too.
It's easy. It's not that tight. It's not tight. It's just comfortable.
But he ate a can of
can
beans.
You fly it on the, can
on
it
the
fly
panel?
It? Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Or is it like mandatory tie in the panel?
You know what? Here's my advice for you.
I know what you're going to say. Just do it and see what happens.
It's easier to get forgiveness than permission. But having said that, I'm not the one who has to take it on the chin if it's...
Yeah. I'm in no position to be trying that on the panel. I'll tell you that right now.
That's Hall of Fame game
else.
Friday night.
Duffy can maybe try the turtleneck.
You should... Yeah, you should bring it out for the Hall of Fame game on Friday.
Right.
No,
I think Stephen
that might be because it's away from here, so it's kind of downtown. I could just run home.
All right, Bob.
All right, boys.
Good
thanks.
Seeing you, buddy.
Have a good
Here's
one.
Bob McKenzie, your hockey insider. Chuba Hubbard from Edmonton, Alberta, idolizing
just
noodles growing up.
That somebody good is coming out.
I love it. I'm so. Well, he's a football player. He's gonna be. He's a stud.
He's a stud.
He's
yeah.
a stud. He will
had
join
one
us.
Month a year to play football in Edmonton, and he got really
indoors.
Good at it.
He played
indoor football. I'll bet you he was a huge Eskimo fan, the whole nine.
That's true.
We'll get to him next. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Just a moment. But we have the pride of Edmonton, Alberta on the line.
Yes.
Usually you are the pride of Edmonton, Alberta.
I'm from St. Albert, Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone says that Edmonton area, it's like GTA. It's
right. The greater Edmonton
area. But I am not the pride of Edmonton. There are, like, so many.
Well, I got to believe Chuba Hubbard is now considered the pride of Edmonton, Alberta. This got to be a massive story out there. Running back at Oklahoma State. We've spoken about him many times on the show. He's crushing the rest of the field in Division I football in rushing yards. More than 300 yards over the second place guy.
Yeah.
Like, this dude is dominating college football right now.
Yep.
Might be up for the Heisman.
It's tough to do. Tough to train out there in the snow.
Well, I think it might have helped them. Although down in Oklahoma, I don't think it's necessarily Edmonton weather.
Exactly.
But he's running back with Oklahoma State from Edmonton, Alberta, making his debut on Overdrive. Great to finally get him on. Here is Chuba Hubbard. Chuba, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Do you consider yourself the pride of Edmonton, Alberta?
I don't know about all that. I'm just trying to do my best to represent Edmonton and Alberta and even Canada. So.
Okay.
Is it nice to get, I noticed that you got a shout out from Wayne Gretzky, him talking about you. Like, is it nice to be on the map with some legends?
I mean, anytime someone like that of that high stature, you know, is talking about you, you know, it's an honor. So I was blessed to, you know, to even have him thinking about me or even knowing I play football, even knowing who I am. So it was cool.
No, you're making a lot of waves up here.
Yeah. What kind of Canada did you bring down there? I mean, any kind of music, any kind of food or anything anybody likes down there? Or they corrected you on some of the things we say, whether it's out or house? Or how has the transition been?
There's definitely been a lot of things where they called me out on some stuff, some pronunciations and stuff like that, certain foods and all that type of stuff. And we joke about it, but I think Canada is the greatest country in the world. And I try to shove that in the face a little bit and stuff like that. But it's all fun and games.
Are you a CFL guy or an NFL guy?
I'd say I'm probably both. I went to a lot of the Eskimo games when I was young, and I watched a lot of NFL, so it's 50-50.
Well, Noodles used to be a water boy at the Eskimos game. What was that, in the 80s?
No, well, in the 80s. I worked there for 2 weeks during training camp, helping out in the laundry section, yes.
Right. I mean, was that when Warren Moon was playing? Like when
Tracy
they were...
Ham, Warren Moon, Matt Dunnigan, those guys were kicking around because I'm 48
years.
Crazy. Yeah, that was like the... I mean, the old-school Eskimos.
The city of champions
when they
type
were, yeah,
Eskimos.
They were just destroying everyone at that point. But, yeah, I did help out. I wouldn't call myself the water boy, but I
you were Bobby Boucher.
I was
Edmonton.
Bobby Boucher, for sure.
I see. with Chuba Hubbard, again, of Oklahoma State from Edmonton. He's lighting up Division I football. And are you tracking the Heisman hype? There's a lot of people that think you're going to be in New York at the end of the year.
To be honest, I really don't try to focus on that too much. I just really care about winning and, you know, what my team does. So, you know, I'm blessed and honored to be, you know, in that talk. But whatever happens, happens. And, you know, that's not really in the back of my mind.
What about the draft? I mean, you can't come out of school. You can't enter the draft. Obviously, that'll be a decision for the end of the season. But I'm sure you're tracking mock drafts. You're probably aware of what the scouts are saying about you. Where are you going with draft eligibility?
To be honest, there's a lot of stuff going on around that. But you know, I'm just waiting, you know, till the end of the season and. You know, they do a bunch of evaluations and stuff and see what happens there. And, you know, if it's my time to go, then, you know, I'll go. But if not, I'll come back for another year. You know, I can still get my degree and stuff like that. That stuff's important to me. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Who do you model your running style after?
That's a hard one. I wouldn't really say there's one, you know, one sole person that I model my stuff after, but I try to pick little things out of everyone, you know, Alvin Kamara, Adrian Peterson, LeSean McCoy. There's a lot of people. I try taking little things out of everyone, but I try, you know, having my own style.
What about the legend of Oklahoma State, Barry Sanders? Have you had a chance to ever meet him? If so, do you track his tape? I mean, it's tough to mimic him. I don't think anyone's ever run like Barry Sanders, but he must be a legend down there.
Oh, yeah, he's the GOAT down here. I mean, he's done amazing things down here. You know, obviously he's a one-of-a-kind player. I actually haven't been able to meet him, like, and actually talk to him like that. But, you know, we've talked over the phone and stuff like that a couple times. So, you know, just to be able to think that, you know, I'm talking to Barry Sanders is crazy. So, yeah, I'm blessed.
We kind of understand being up here in Toronto, what it's like being the main man for the Toronto Maple Leafs walking around Toronto. What is it like being the main man walking around campus? I mean, is it... Just give us a description of what it's like. We understand the NHL stuff in Toronto, but we need a refresher what it's like being the man on a big-time campus.
In college, yeah.
I mean, sometimes I just feel like I always got eyes on me and stuff. You know, people will come up to me and talk to me, introduce themselves. Or,
that's all,
you know,
good.
Ask for an autograph or stuff like that. But it's cool. I mean, the students here and the fans, they show me a lot of love, and I appreciate it. So, yeah, it's awesome.
What's the craziest playing experience you've gone through, whether it's at home, on the road? Any moment where you're like, man, I can't believe I'm playing, you know, big time Division I college football?
Probably last year, you know, I got to go in versus Oklahoma. It's Bedlam. It's a big rivalry game. You know, we had some injuries, so my number was called. And, you know, just being in that moment, it was kind of just like, wow, you know, you're in this moment. You know, you dreamed about this for your whole life, and you're actually here. So, sometimes I forget to take it all in. So that was definitely a moment where I was just trying to, you know, live in the moment and enjoy it.
He is Chuba Hubbard from Edmonton, Alberta. Oh,
yes, we should ask him the question then.
All right.
Don't know. Do you track any of the Oilers or any of the hockey players from the Edmonton area?
Jason Strudwick in particular.
Exactly.
Have you ever heard that guy's name?
I actually haven't. No, I haven't heard of him.
Good.
That's exactly what we wanted to hear. He's a buddy of ours. He thinks he's a big timer back in
exactly
Edmonton.
But
I bet you he talks about you. He's got a radio show out there. You're probably coming up every single day on
the
show.
An update.
Out there.
There's an update every show.
Yeah, Chuba update. And we'll let him know. Congrats on what has been an incredible season. Over 1,600 yards already, 18 touchdowns. We're tracking you up here. Best of luck the rest of the way. And we'll do this again down the road. Thank you for doing this.
Sounds good. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Chuba Hubbard from Edmonton, Alberta. Completely unaware of Jason Strudwick.
We got to get Strudy on and just play that.
Appreciate it. I'll text him
like
later.
That'll just be
on tomorrow.
Yeah,
break his heart.
Just play that coming in. No, I've never heard of that guy.
Actually, no, never. Yeah. From there, played for the Oilers, and has a big-time radio show up there. Not a clue.
Never.
Did he win a salad rebuild draft or something? I thought I heard something about that.
Yeah, what if he was like, yeah, I've seen him. Yeah.
Brutal salad. Yeah. We're familiar with him.
Exactly. Palm tree growing out of the top of his head.
Yeah. So Chuba Hubbard, again, that's a name that you're going to want to remember.
For sure.
If he enters a draft, you know, who knows where he'll be drafted, but... Look at his numbers, man. 18 touchdowns already. 1,600 yards rushing. He is just lapping
dominant
the field in Division I football. And
impressive.
Yeah, that would be cool, man. Oklahoma State versus Oklahoma. Like, that's something we just can't appreciate up here. Like, the university sports, they just don't have the same cachet as American collegiate sports. But you would have seen it. Like, when North Carolina played NC State or North Carolina Duke.
Yeah. Dude, I remember picking up the paper. It was NC State, it was Duke, it was Carolina. And Carolina Hurricanes would have like a little
three-paragraph
thing at the very end of the paper, at the back. They lost 6-2 last night to the New York Rangers.
Yeah, that's...
Mm-hmm. Boy, you go down to the South, man, that is college football territory.
Yeah, he would be
Oklahoma State.
There's some good QBs at NC State, though. Russell Wilson, Phillip Rivers.
Absolutely.
There was some good basketball. I saw some. I always used to go to my buddies down there were season ticket holders and loved it. I got to see some great players.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
I wish.
Boozer, J.J. Redick.
And they get big crowds, too. Oh. Like, they're playing in front of 80,000 people.
Oh, yeah, man. You go to an Oklahoma City or an Oklahoma State game, like Oklahoma State versus Oklahoma. Yeah, it'd be 80,000 people. In the
stadium. Never forget one of my buddies got really into one and got down in the field and started hugging the guys doing the prayer at the end of a football game. He was so greased, and he picked up somebody's mouth guard. And he took the mouth guard to the bar, and we're just, it was classic. How he got down there, I have no idea. You know how they all
get on the field. We saw it this week when
there was no storming the field. It was one of those things where he just got on there and they were doing the prayer, like they all get together, both teams. There was no storming the field. He just was out there.
Just found a way to get out there.
Yeah, and he got a mouth guard and he loved it, and it was quite a time. I'm amazed that, like, the commitment to the tailgate and not even going into the building.
Well, those students, though, they're...
It's about the food, and it's, like, season tickets, but you're not even... you're not going in, because guess what? You can't drink in there.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know what? Put a TV in the back of the pickup, have some food, and we're not going in.
Well, I can't imagine there's a better feeling in the world than being... A starting running back, starting quarterback.
Win the Heisman.
Well, you win a big game at home. You leave the stadium at like 4:30 on a Saturday.
You're Teen Wolf.
Oh, the thing is, what they do, it's all house parties down there. They don't go to bars or anything in the States.
Dude, it's Teen Wolf, and you are the king daddy topper.
Yeah, you're surfing on the top of a van, cruising around the campus. That's what you are. You're Teen Wolf. Like, if you're the starting quarterback at, let's say, Oklahoma State, you win a game.
You just have to hope that Chubbs picks up the scraps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
That is something.
You
else.
Are walking into a party.
Do you remember the look on that Chubbs' face when Teen Wolf started dominating? He just said, no way.
He was so rattled.
He was furious.
He was so rattled.
Yep. Chubbs was a player, man. He'd control the paint.
He was. He was a little
And he
gritty.
Was a team guy. He was a team first type
He organized of guy. The team functions, you know, Chubbs did.
He had a great, exactly. There's a great picture of him with his shades on at the party. He's having a great time.
Just greased.
Yeah. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the NBA board tonight, I'm on Indiana -3 at home against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Philly wins big against Cleveland tonight. I'll lay the points. And I'll lay the points, L.A. Lakers at Phoenix tonight, -2.5. Throw down 20, you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Al's brother's up a hundy because he picked Seattle last night. Yep. Seattle not only won the game, but obviously they covered the number.
Al's brother, very generous. I asked him to grab me some kind of refreshment. No thanks, not happening. Just gave him $100.
All right, anyway, we're out of here. We're back tomorrow at...
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
Scarborough Nissan is one of the largest volume Nissan dealers in the GTA. And they'd like to thank their customers for the continued support during the construction on Eglinton. Come on in. They're open.
The Nissan Clearout sales event is on now. Lease the 2019 Qashqai S for zero down from $279 a month at 3.6% APR for 64 months. Includes $300 bonus cash.
Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Visit them on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Ave. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout sales event is on. Lease the 2019 Qashqai S for zero down from $279 a month at 3.6% APR for 64 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.